Matt is the president of Dare to Be Different, which is a unique ministry that actually became part of Trinity almost 5 years ago. And one of the joys that when I came, I said, who does all the premarital problem, anything? And they said, well, you can do that if you want, but we have a really solid ministry where we do that as a body. I said, amazing. And I finally meet the guy who is the brains and the brawn behind it. So, Matt, thank you very much. Matt is married to Pam. They've been in ministry for 18 years. Both came out of the business world. The Lord led that way. Matt likes to catch largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, any kind of fish. And you enjoy golfing, correct?
A little bit.
You and I should go fish. I want to play a little game because it's only so often that you get someone from the Midwest. Matt is from Iowa. The Midwest, that's that great place that I come from. It's over the rainbow with Dorothy and Toto. But
let's do it.
Okay, here's the quiz.
It's a quiz.
Is it y'all or you guys?
You guys, for sure. Use guys if you're
guys.
A little further north.
All right.
Joyzy.
Is it beef or crawfish?
Beef all the way. Beef all the way.
My guy. Is it corn on the cob or okra?
Since I don't really know what okra is, it has to be corn on the cob.
He was down here and he leaned over. He goes, I still don't know what okra is. I said, well.
He said it's gross.
You got to be raised with it. Okay. This morning when you arrived here, was it cold or a bit nippy?
It was warm and nice.
So, hey, Matt, I'm going to pray for Matt, and I'm excited for him to bring them. I'll warn you, though, I came in for the last 5 minutes, and in the last 5 minutes, I wore my boots today, and he managed to step on my toes. That's a good sermon. When the Lord gets your attention, and his word is posited into your heart. And that's what I'm going to pray for now. So, Lord, I thank you so much for Matt and his ministry. And, Lord, I thank you for all the ministries here at Trinity. I was just sitting in the seat thinking all of them have this impulse toward mentoring and disciple-making. And that's so good, Lord. That's healthy. Father, I thank you that yesterday 19 couples invested in a unique way in their marriage. I thank you for over the last 5 years, the marriages that have been impacted here at Trinity and outside of Trinity. And Lord, I ask that that would continue. Lord, now as Matt speaks, I ask that you would allow him to be who he is in you. That your word would speak, that your spirit would move in our hearts. Father, I ask that Christ would be reflected, both his truth and his great grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So my name is Matt, and as he said, I'm from Iowa. And when I say Iowa, I just want you to shout out, what do you think of? I say Iowa, you say?
Corn.
That's the bracket.
Who said potatoes? That's Idaho. Happens all the time. There's no potatoes in Iowa. Well, I'm excited to be here. We've had a great weekend so far. Thank you, Pastor Michael, for allowing me to come. And specifically, I really appreciate Kurt and Wendy for their leadership and their love and their passion for marriages. And we've got a message this morning that's a little bit on the heavy side. It's a little bit, it might be a little bit convicting, and I want to unpack it for you in a second. But put on your seatbelt. We're going to dive in. And I pray that God puts a fire in you and really speaks to you specifically about your life and your pattern. And so here it is. The title is It's More Than a Marriage. Your marriage represents far more than a marriage. It's not just about falling in love. It's not just about sex. It's not just about interacting or having children and all the things that come with marriage. It's far more. And we're going to unveil some scripture this morning to dive into it. And if you're here and you're younger and you're not married, a lot of times when I preach on marriage, as soon as the young ones hear the word, they check out. But listen, not this morning. I want to directly speak to the young ones who aren't married yet. And so stay tuned in, because one day you will get married. It's closer than you think. It's right around the corner. And I want to speak to you about that moment and about that decision you're going to make. And so even though you're young and marriage is nowhere on the radar, stay tuned in. And if you're here this morning and you're separated or divorced, or maybe you're older and widowed and you're never going to marry again, stay tuned in. And the reason often is because people are going to come to you for answers. And maybe it's a son or a daughter, a grandchild, a friend, a neighbor, and they want out of their marriage and they don't understand the implications. And they're going to come to you for hope. And I want you to be ready to give them a word, give them some hope. And so married or not, young or old, happy, sad, or glad, or mad, I hope this message is for you this morning. It's more than a marriage. I was counseling a guy, and my wife and I left our careers, and we trained about 30,000 mentors all over the world. And so we live in the arena of marriage. We live in the arena of family. We live there, and we live in the arena of conflict and relationships that break down. That's where we live. So I'm counseling this guy, and his marriage was on the rocks, and he had been coming to my church for a while. And I'll never forget, I noticed that his teenage kids, and I think he had one around 10 or 11, none of them went to church, and they all stayed home. And so I asked him, like you would, and I said, hey, why aren't your kids coming with you to church? And he looked at me, and he said, oh, because they don't want to. And I'm not going to be one of those dads who forces my kids. And I went home kind of scratching my head like, wow, I got to think through this. And this is the culture we're in today. And what do I say? And what does this implicate? And all of a sudden it hit me that this is a real issue. It's a real disconnect. And that's where this message came from, was that moment. And I'm like, Lord, give me a message that can really wake us up to the core of what our marriage really is. It is a platform. I'm going to use that word again. Our marriage is a God-built platform for His glory and His truth. And it's a platform of truth-telling. It's a platform of transferring God's truth. It's a platform where your calling and your anointing would flow through you to your children and their children and beyond. It is an Ivy League college-level platform. Your marriage is an Ivy League college-level platform, and you're the professor, and your children are the students. It's a tremendously big deal. And I'm not sure that we all look at it that way, and I'm not sure that our society today looks at it that way. And as goes my marriage, and as goes your marriage, and as goes your action, goes your children and their marriage. And sometimes couples say to me, well, I don't know what my anointing is. I don't know what my calling is. You know, I'm not called to ministry like you, Matt. And that's okay. Not everybody's called to preach and teach, and not everybody's called to all of these things or full time. But I'll tell you this, if you're a parent, your marriage and your family is the ministry that God has called you to. And it's a huge deal. And God built it. God built the platform, and God wants you to use your platform. And if you're not married yet and you're going to have kids in the future, I'm going to unveil some things to you that might be quite startling at the impact that you're going to have on your children's moral compass and true north, right, wrong, and all these different subjects. It's going to really be more shaped by what you have to say to them than anybody else on the planet. The number one teaching agent in the life of a child is the parent. Number one, nothing's even close. And God has some things to say about it, and we're going to unveil that in Scripture here. But before I do, this is a heavy message. And so if you listen to this and you're a parent, and maybe your children are grown up and they're gone, and maybe as you listen to this and you feel this conviction, or maybe you feel some shame, you wished you could have been a better parent, you wished you could have said some things. Listen, God's grace is deep and wide, and His mercy and His forgiveness. He removes our error and our sin as far as the east is from the west. So I don't want to hurt you, and I don't want to pick on you this morning, but I want to still bring God's word to you. Is that okay? Plus, It's never too late. You can always go backwards. You can always call your adult children and have conversations. You can always go back. We're going to talk about that this morning. You can always go back to them and say things that you wished you would have said 30 years ago. It's never too late. And I'm going to help you this morning build your marriage platform by following three biblical steps out of this passage. So if you got your Bibles, open them up to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. It's in the Old Testament towards the first quarter. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I'm going to skip around throughout the chapter. I'm not going to read every verse, but there's a lot of reading here, and I'm a pretty fast reader, so bear with me. It'll be up on the screen. And then I'm going to give you three key elements out of this to really unveil what God is saying. And here he starts, and he says this, and he's speaking to the parents. He's speaking to the parents. Here's what he says. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements and his decrees and his laws and his commands always. Verse 2. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. And what he's saying is, hey, your children weren't there when I did all of these things and these miracles, or maybe God's miracles or God's wrath fell upon. Your children weren't there to see what you saw. And it's a little bit like today, we can all say in the room, we weren't there when all of these things happened, where the Red Sea was split and Moses and King David. And so what he's saying is, hey, your kids weren't there. And so your platform is going to be how they learn. Your platform, your marriage. This becomes very serious. Then I jumped at verse 8. He says, observe, therefore, all the commands. Observe the commands I'm giving you today so that, I love this phrase, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants. Ding, 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 your children. And here it is. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. This is a promise from God. This is a promise from him. And then he says in the verse 13, he says, so if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, then, I love that word, I will send what? Rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and olive oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. It is this metaphor of God's most amazing blessings and promises upon your land, your children, and their children, if we love him, we follow him. And then it gets heavy and serious. He then jumps into a caution. He says, be careful or you will be enticed and turn away from the worship and worship other gods and bow down to them. And in today's culture, maybe we're not turning to false gods, but maybe the pattern is in our culture, we're just not turning to God. We're just going to do nothing. And he's saying, hey, be careful. And then it gets even heavier. He says, if you do that, then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he, God, will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain on the ground and will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord gave you. So fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds and tie them around you as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And so this is intense. It's intense. This idea of binding yourself and planting the truth of God into your mind and heart and soul is intense. And then, this is one of my favorite parts of this whole passage. He says, teach these things to your children and talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write these things on the door frames of your house and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give you as ancestors, as many, many days that are blessed and blessed and blessed. And then he says this, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing is if you do this, if you obey these commands the Lord your God is giving, and the curse is if you disobey the commands that the Lord God gave and turn away that I commanded you today by following other gods or not following any which you have not ever known. This is heavy. It's heavy teaching, and I want to break this down to three simple steps that you can remember. Out of everything he said here, there's three key elements in order for you to build this platform. It's more than a marriage. It's more, far more. And until we die and go to heaven and literally talk to God, we may not even understand on this side of the cross of going to heaven on how important this marriage is that God built. God built marriage. Man didn't build it. God did. And the first thing out of this, in the very first verse, he says this, passionately love God. Passionately love God. That's step one. If I want a great marriage and if I want the blessings to fall upon my children and your children and their children, it says love God. Love him. Love him. I'll never forget my dad. My dad loved the Lord so much that I can't escape it. I cannot escape what my father did and what my father said over and over and over that was intense. My father honored this passage almost to the letter in ways that are amazing. And now that he's gone, he's passed away, I look back and I'm in awe of what he did. Love the Lord your God. That's step one. And my father loved the Lord. I'll never forget when I went off to college. My parents grew up poor. My mom and dad never made it past the sixth grade. And my twin brother, I have an identical twin, he and I went off to college together. And we were the first two in all of our family to go to college, and cousins and aunts and uncles. And so here we're about ready to go off to college. And my father, in his best way, took us off to the side, and he sat down with us, and I'll never forget the intensity, and he said, I got two things to tell you when you go off to college. And he says, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care how fancy your cars are. None of that matters to me. Your bank account doesn't matter. None of that's going to impress me. He said, there's two things I'm going to tell you young men to go and do. Number one, he said, you love the Lord God with all your heart. Number two, he said, you love other people. You stay humble. You serve them. You serve them. He said, here's the measurements. I'm giving you two measurements as your father, as your dad. And man, that was amazing. It was a great way to send us off. The correct measurements. And all the pressures of the world that we have now to be whatever the world says we should be, or the pressures that we all have in college, and am I going to pass? Am I going to fail? Am I going to get a nice house? And some of you young ones right now, you're going to go through all those same pressures. And my dad, by giving me this order, it took all the pressure off. Just love the Lord and serve people. The problem that I see today is so many parents are silent, or they expect the church to do all the teaching. They drop their kids off at church, and the youth pastor, or maybe from the pulpit, and you know, and there's nothing wrong with learning from those aspects. But listen, I got a couple things that's pretty startling to tell you this morning. 2 out of 100 kids will grow up following the Lord when only mom loves the Lord and dad doesn't. Dad doesn't go to church. Dad's not a Christ follower. 2 out of 100 children, statistically, will grow up wanting to follow the Lord. Listen to this. 44 out of 100 grow up following the Lord if only dad loves the Lord and mom doesn't. And as I researched this for years and years and years, I wanted to understand what's the difference. Why is it that what dad says and what dad does and what dad teaches and what dad does in the home and what comes out of his mouth and the words that he uses on these young ones, why is it that much more impacting than mom? And my answer is, I don't know. It's how God built marriage. And so my encouragement today is put a fire in us. Husbands, dads, if we're quiet, we're silent, and we're just expecting the church to do it, or Pastor Michael, or the youth pastor, or maybe your wife, listen, your voice matters. It's more than a marriage. This is a platform, and you're the professor. And for some reason, when you say it, You could say the very same thing to your son that Pastor Michael says from the pulpit, but when it comes from your mouth, it means 1,000 times more. Well, Matt, how do you know? Well, as I dove into this message, I started looking back at my life. I looked back at the times that I had pain and hurt and anger, and somebody wronged me, and somebody wounded me, and somebody lied to me, or maybe in my marriage when it was struggling and divorce was a temptation. And I looked back and I started to journal all of these moments. And you know what happened? I started to realize that every one of those moments, there was a subconscious thought in my mind. And here it was over and over. What would my dad do? What would my dad do? What did my dad do? What did I watch my dad do? What would my dad say? Over and over and over. And even though I love my mom, I can't remember ever thinking, what would my mom do? And even though I loved my pastor when I was a kid, I don't ever remember thinking, well, what would my pastor say? What would my dad do? What would my dad say? And all of a sudden, this passage comes alive. God is speaking to the mom and the dad, and even more so, he's speaking to the dad, and paint these things on the house, on the walls, and love the Lord. And then God says, if we do this, blessings will pour out, and it's not guaranteeing perfection, but blessings. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. My dad used to take me deer hunting. I was 11 years old with my brother. It was kind of cool. Get up at 4 a.m. We'd go out in the pitch dark and we'd bow hunt. And it's kind of scary, but I'll never forget these moments, all these moments with my dad, these teaching moments. It's more than a marriage. It's a platform. And he would park the truck and he'd say, bow your head, son. And we'd bow our heads and he'd always pray. And he'd pray something like this every single time. Lord, protect us as we walk into the woods. Protect my sons when they climb the trees. And if it be your will, Lord, send me a big buck. But these moments, and all these moments of what came out of my dad's mouth started to shape me. And my father did not hold back. He took every single thing, that every moral subject, every subject that had any moral implication, and he took it and he poured it into me. He poured it into my brother to the point where we couldn't escape it. Subjects like homosexuality, sex before marriage, getting drunk, forgiving and repenting, forgive somebody that hurts you and wounds you, and all these subjects, my father poured and poured and poured. And all of a sudden, as life hits me, as it does you and your kids, these memories keep coming back. What would my dad do? What did my dad do? What would my dad say? My dad used to spank us, and I don't know if that's even acceptable in today's culture to give a spanking, so we're not going to preach on it, but I'll let you sort that out. But I'll never forget my dad's method of spanking. So powerful, so effective. He'd bring me or my brother into his study, and he'd sit me on his lap, and he'd explain what I did wrong, and then he'd bring out a scripture, and he would do a little teaching, and then he would say, I'm going to have to swat you. I don't want to, but I'm your dad, and I need to. And sometimes I could see a tear run down his face because he knew he had to, but he didn't want to. And he never transferred anger. It's a message I give parents all the time. When you punish your children, don't transfer your anger. You can still be firm. You can still punish, but don't yell and scream and don't transfer this anger because they'll rebel every time. And then as I got older, my dad's lectures got longer and longer. And then I'm like, Dad, just spank me. Get this thing over with, man. You're driving me nuts. And I asked my dad one time, I took him bass fishing. I'm now in my career. And I spent 4 days with him bass fishing. And all the way to Missouri, he would talk about Jesus. And one time I'm like, Dad, can we have a conversation without you bringing up Jesus or the scriptures? And he looked at me and he says, when I'm done breathing, I'm done talking about Jesus. That was who he was. It's more than a marriage. Do you see it? He used to bring us to prisons. Me and my brother and my other brother, and we would go into the prisons in Iowa, and my dad would minister to the prisoners in the chapel. And at 11 years old, it was pretty cool. It's like, wow, I mean, you know, it's kind of scary. These guys are all in there for big reasons. They're lifers. And my dad said, guys, I want you to go up to every inmate, and I want you to shake their hand and look them in the eye and ask them their name. And you love on them. And I had no idea how that was going to shape my life. I had no idea how those little acts, one after the other, we would go into nursing homes and he'd say, sons, you go around and you love on those people and you shake their hand and you look them in the eye and you ask them their name. And I had no idea how that was going to shape my life. It's more than a marriage. It's a lot more. And we go to step two in this passage. Step one is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then we get into number two, observe his commands. Passionately observe his commands. Passionately observe God's commands. And you're like, okay, Matt, what are they? Well, there's too many to unpack today, but I'll give you some basics. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments are still in play, so let's look at them once in a while. What are they? But the new law in the New Testament, Jesus says, hey, I'm not abolishing the old law, but I'm gonna add something. It says, love the Lord with all your heart. That's the new law. And love other people. It's pretty simple. A lot of forgiveness, a lot of repentance, a lot of love, a lot of humility. And my dad would teach me these things. Observe his commands. When you're hurt, when you're wounded, when somebody hurts you and somebody wrongs you. And these are the lessons my dad taught over and over and over. And what you don't know is my dad was abused by his dad so badly, and his sister was abused so badly that his father, my grandpa, went to prison for it. Physical abuse and sexual. And I didn't know this until I was about 12. And what was weird is we would go visit Grandpa every couple weeks, and my dad would mow his lawn and shave him and take care of his bills. And my grandpa would cuss at him and hit him with the cane. And as a kid, I'm like, well, Grandpa's weird and he's mean, but it's just who he is. I didn't know the whole story. So I finally started asking my dad, like, what's up? My sister's never come. My mom never comes. Nobody ever visits him. Why, Dad? That's kind of weird. And then my dad told me, I can't trust my dad around girls. When I found out how horrible his childhood was and how horrible his dad was, I was furious as a kid. I yelled, and I'm like, Dad, then why are we here? What are you doing here? Why are you taking care of him? And my dad literally opened up the Bible. And he took me and my twin and he said, sit down. And he started to read a couple passages. And he said, you love your parents. You honor your parents, period. And you love them and God will bless you. You forgive and you love and you serve and you love people who hurt you. You love. It doesn't mean you have to be under their abuse, and it doesn't mean you have to be in a toxic relationship with them, but you can forgive them and love them from a distance. More than a marriage. You have an opportunity to show your kids how to handle hurts and wounds. I used to wonder what my dad was thinking every time we would drive there an hour away when we went to visit his dad. What in the world was going on in my dad's head? Because it could not have been pleasant. Some of you know my story. My mom ended up cheating on my dad and left him for a year with a lover. He waited and prayed. He forgave. She comes back a year later. He forgives her, reconciled. They have four more kids, four sons, and they stayed married 60 years, and they literally fell in love around their 20th year of marriage. He's teaching me. He's showing me how to handle conflict, how to handle wounds, how to love people when it doesn't make sense, how to let the Holy Spirit reign in your life, and how to actually trust in the Lord enough and not take matters in his own hands. And if you're here and you're divorced and remarried, hey, again, God's grace and mercy is great and deep and wide, but make that marriage everything you can be and learn how to forgive and learn how to love and learn how to love people that are really hard to love because your kids are watching you. And that's how they learn. Show them. I used to marvel at how my dad handled all this. And I'm like, man, Dad, how did you handle all this pain? And he never let it derail him. He was a man who kept giving his heart to people. And when it got hurt, God healed it. And he just trusted in the Lord enough. God, you're going to heal my wound. And I'm just going to keep loving people. And I'm like, Dad, how did you get through all this? And so I want to show you how. We'll throw that picture up on the screen. That was his. And he's gone now. I turned the pages and I couldn't hardly read the scripture because of all of his notes. And one time I was really lonely and I missed him after he passed away, and I opened up his Bible and I got a magnifying glass out so I could read his notes. It's more than a marriage. You see it? It's so much more. And every time I'm facing a wound or a hurt, a marriage that's struggling or a relationship, what would Dad do? Oh, he would love them. And in this passage, this formula says, observe God's commands, love him and observe them, apply them, show your kids the power of God's ways. That's what it says. It promises blessings. It promises milk and honey and oil and rain, but it doesn't promise perfection. I don't like preachers that are prosperity preachers. If you follow Jesus, you'll get rich and wealthy and you'll be healthy. Baloney. And if you ever hear that, don't listen to it. You follow Jesus and you might get sick. And I would pray God heal you, but if he doesn't, you still follow him. You're doing nothing wrong. Some preachers say something's wrong with you if you're sick or not wealthy. And maybe I'm not wealthy and maybe I'm sick, but I love Jesus with all my heart. I have leukemia. That's no joke. I have leukemia. Well, guess what? If God wants me to have it and he doesn't want me to be healed, then he's going to give me the ability to endure. And if you have an ailment, he'll give you the ability to endure. And by the way, if I die tomorrow, I get to go see Jesus before you do. It's a win-win. Observe his commands. Apply them. Show your kids. I get frustrated when I counsel dads or moms, and they're so full of hate towards each other or other people that they just want to cut people out in my life who've hurt me. Is that God's commands? Is that what God says? Because my Bible says, love those who hurt you and wound you. Love your enemy. Give them drink. Take care of them. Feed them. He says, even the pagans love each other when they're kind to each other. And God says, you get no credit for that. Twice the scripture says, you get no credit for loving somebody who's lovable. But then he goes, but I tell you, you love those who hurt you and wound you. Then you'll be the sons and daughters of the Most High. Love them. Are we applying this? Are we showing our children? Because it's more than a marriage. I digress. We get into the third piece. So love the Lord and observe his commands. And then number three, it says teach your kids. I had a husband call me recently, and he says, my 30-year-old son calls me, and he says, Dad, I don't know how to say this to you, but I'm in love with another man, and I'm going to live with him. And I love him. And the dad called me weeping on the phone. And we cried together. And here's what he said. He says, Matt, I biblically don't support that. I biblically stand on God's truth. And I love my son, but I don't support that life choice. And he said, but here's the problem. I never once had a conversation with my kids about any of this, ever. And it's killing me, it's crushing me that I never said anything. I never used my words to speak to my kids on God's word. And now look what's happening. We cried together, and I said, brother, God's mercy is great. And God's grace is deep and wide, so don't beat yourself up. But listen to me. It's not too late. You take your adult children, you call a family meeting, you bring God's word, and you lay it out in love, but you lay it out. You'll sleep better. And even though your son may or may not change his direction, share the word, because it's more than a marriage. And he did. And it took this massive guilt off of him. And I don't know what the end of the story is going to look like, but it's more than a marriage. You know, I pray that you take this and it motivates you to think of the 5 or 10 serious moral situations that are going on in our culture and what you say, what your convictions are biblically, and somehow write your kids a letter, have a family meeting, however you want to do it, especially dads, but do it. So here's what it says in this last piece. It says, be careful or you'll be enticed to turn away and worship other gods or not worship God at all. And then it goes down in verse, 18. It says, fix these words in your hearts and minds, symbols, tie them around. Here it is. Teach them to your children when they get up, when they go for walks, when you go hunting, when you go fishing, when you go shopping, moms, with your daughters. All these connecting points are opportunities to deliver the truth of God's word in a world that is just doesn't know truth. It's more than a marriage. I counsel a lot of teenage boys. I don't counsel girls, but I counsel teenage boys. And I always sort of take them hunting, fishing, or we'll meet at Chick-fil-A. I don't bring them in my stuffy counseling office. And I want to make a connection with them, and I want to do something that lowers their guard so that I can earn a place of impact in their heart. And it's always strategic. I ask a lot of questions, and I wait for the Lord to give me direction. But I want to try to bring truth into their hearts and into their lives. Dads and moms, you can do the same thing. Take them golfing, take them fishing, take them shopping, whatever, but use it as a platform. This is a platform. And those of you who aren't married yet and you love the Lord and you're younger, I hope this message never leaves you. Matter of fact, I'm going to call a timeout in my sermon right now, and I want to speak to those of you who are young and not married. And I'll start with the girls, the young ladies. Pay attention. You're going to meet a boy at some point, and he's going to make you feel sick inside, like you ate some bad pizza. And you're going to have this rush of feelings and emotion. And I don't care how good looking he is, and I don't care how popular he is or wealth. If he doesn't love Jesus, don't go on one date. Don't go on one date. And you might want to investigate his life and his friends and his mom and his dad and prove to yourself over time that he really, really loves Jesus. And here's why. Because God has a calling on your life. God wants your anointing be fulfilled. And if you marry someone that doesn't love God or won't love God, it's going to be trouble. And on one date, your heart can get wrapped around the wrong person. I've seen it 1,000 times. On one date, on being alone, on one date, the Bible says our hearts are always going astray. It's so easy to fall in love with the wrong person. And so be an investigator, ladies. If he shows to you his character and he loves Jesus, proceed with caution. But if he hasn't proven himself, don't do it. And now we'll go to the young men. Same story for you. I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care how her perfume knocks you out. Well, not because it's too much perfume, but you get it. Or the way she flips her hair. You know, when I was in school, it drove me crazy. A beautiful girl was like this. Hey, did you see that? Wow, man. Did I do that right? If she doesn't love Jesus, don't go on a date. Because your heart can get wrapped around her. And God's got big plans for you. He wants to pour into your future land, honey and milk and rain and blessings. But man, if you're in a tumultuous marriage where you love the Lord and they don't, it's trouble. It's trouble. So if you made that promise this morning, I don't care how old you are, tell your parents. Tell your parents on the way home. Talk about it. Parents, pour this into your kids so that the days will be long and blessed for your children. Who passionately love the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you're listening to this and maybe your marriage needs a little bit of help. Maybe you need a bump of encouragement, or maybe you need really deep marriage mentoring. Listen, we're going to put this up on the screen. If you need any marriage help at all, a little bit or a lot, just text to that number and they'll contact you. We'll pair you up with a mentor couple. They're trained how to walk with you. It's confidential. It's private. And they'll love on you, and they'll help you shore up some things and resolve some things in a biblical way so that your marriage platform is clicking on all cylinders. And I know it's embarrassing and it's humbling, but listen, get help. Get help. Thousands and thousands of mentors all over the world. Get help. It's private. No shame in it. Well, what's at stake, Matt? Far more than your marriage. Your children, their children. So take that step. Get help. I'll be at my table at the very end here if you want to talk to me. I also have a date night, how to spice up your date night with these little date night cards or conversation cards. I got a couple books and blah, blah. You can meet me at the table if you want to. But let me wrap up with this. Love the Lord your God. Observe his commands. Teach this to your children. Build this platform. And if you have adult children, and maybe you feel convicted, please consider writing them a letter. Maybe they're gone and you're listening to this message and you're like, oh, Matt, I blew it. And I had a guy come up to me after the service, and he's weeping, and we prayed together, and we cried together, and he just said, I blew it. I didn't do those things, Matt. And he was probably 60-some years old. And I hugged him, and we cried, and we prayed, and I said, it's not too late. Send him a letter. Find a way. Find a way. Your marriage is a platform for truth-telling. It's a conduit for your kids. It's a spiritual Ivy League college. Don't rely on your pastor and your youth program. Dads, own this. Moms, own this. Schedule a family meeting once a month. Pick a subject. Do an in-home study where the words come from your mouths, mom and dad, rather than the church, or in addition to the church. And maybe on the way home, even today on the way home, you can quiz your kids. I love saying this to parents. Quiz your kids every Sunday on the way home. What'd you think of that sermon? What did you like? What didn't you like? Have conversations. But by all means, teach them. Teach them. Teach them. Love the Lord your God. Observe his commands. Teach your kids. It's more than a marriage. Let's pray. Father, this message is heavy. I feel the heaviness of your spirit. I feel your desperation, Lord, for all of us to take this seriously for our future generations. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit heal us where maybe we're hurt by our choices, and remove that from us, but put a fire in us, Lord. Father, I pray for the couples who need help right now, that they would sign a card or text or come up to me or whatever it takes, because their family matters. Pray for Pastor Michael as he leads this church. Keep your anointing upon him, protect him, heal him and his family. And Father, I ask you to tell my dad that I love him and I miss him. I love him and I miss him. Thank you for giving him to me. In your name I pray. Amen.